Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. Great questions from Chris in Virginia, and I think that the issue will be addressed directly. I was thinking of the video, the after school video that we played around the time that it was published back in 2021. I think we played it more than once. It's titled Mass Psychosis, How an Entire Population Becomes Mentally Ill. We talked about menticide a few times through the COVID shenanigans. And, you know, all of these things are featured in Barry Brownstein's article, which is narrated, and I think we'll get to that. Before we do that, can we play the Malcolm X media manipulation clip to sort of set the stage?
There's too many men up there with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people, everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
That is a broad brush understanding of the issue, and I think that he understood it very well. Now, we might as well just dive into it. I think, you know, if you have time, listen to this carefully if you can, or come back to it maybe in the archives, or go listen to it on YouTube. The title of the video, How Totalitarian Societies Brainwash Their Citizens. Kate Wand narrates Barry Brownstein's article over at the American Institute for Economic Research. Or just read the article, better yet, really. And I would encourage people to circulate this for a more nuanced understanding of exactly what's going on. And so, again, this draws on Joost Mierlo's work and, you know, his book, The Rape of the Mind, The Psychology of Thought Control, Menticide, and Brainwashing. A lot of these books written in this time, and it seems that somebody or other has leveraged the work that we're always told – we're trying to prevent bad things. We're studying the Soviet and the Chinese communist model, or we're trying to, you know, help our troops avoid being interrogated, only to discover actually it's the other way around. We're using this in a more offensive way than it, you know, the research is applied in a more offensive way than defensive. So that's always interesting. Anyway, without further ado, listen to this, how totalitarian societies brainwash their citizens, and see if any of this rings a bell. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Joost Mierlo was a Dutch-American psychiatrist who escaped from a Nazi prison in occupied Holland. His book, The Rape of the Mind, The Psychology of Thought Control, Menticide, and Brainwashing, explores how totalitarian societies brainwash their citizens. Although written in 1956, Mierlo provides timeless lessons for resisting authoritarian pressures in contemporary times. Mierlo explained how Stalinist Russia, Nazi Germany, and other totalitarian societies used primitive Pavlovian strategies to control the population. He who dictates and formulates the words and phrases we use, he who is master of the press and radio, is master of the mind.
Man muss nämlich gut regieren und für eine gute Regierung auch eine gute Propaganda betreiben. Das eine gehört zum anderen. Eine gute Regierung ohne Propaganda kann ebenso wenig bestehen wie eine gute Propaganda ohne eine gute Regierung.
Mierlo writes, freedom of discussion and free intellectual exchange hinder conditioning. Feelings of terror, feelings of fear and hopelessness, of being alone, of standing with one's back to the wall, must be instilled. For many today, fear and hopelessness are frequent companions. In our cancel culture, free intellectual exchange is difficult. Why is big tech scrubbing even the most innocuous of alternative views? Mierlo explained why. The mind that is open for questions is open for dissent. In the totalitarian regime, the doubting, inquisitive, an imaginative mind has to be suppressed. The totalitarian slave is only allowed to memorize, to salivate when the bell rings. Mierlo adds, to the degree that the individual is made an object of constant mental manipulation, to the degree that cultural institutions may tend to weaken intellectual and spiritual strength, to the degree that knowledge of the mind is used to tame and condition people instead of educating them, to that degree does the culture itself produce men and women who are predisposed to accept an authoritarian way of life. The man who has no mind of his own can easily become the pawn of a would-be dictator.
I'm proud of the work that we've done to support our democracy. This is a difficult period, but I believe that America will emerge stronger than ever, and we're focused on doing our part to help.
The Pavlovian strategy encourages herding behavior as people are conditioned more and more to ask themselves, what do other people think? Mierlo continues, as a result, a common delusion is created. People are incited to think what other people think, and this public opinion may mushroom out into a mass prejudice. Expressed in psychoanalytical terms, through daily propagandistic noise backed up by forceful verbal cues, people can more and more be forced to identify with the powerful noisemaker.
There is a clear message that is coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Chillingly, Mierlo writes, Big Brother's voice resounds in all the little brothers. Today, little brothers are all too ready to repeat bromides they have heard from Dr. Fauci and media-favored experts. Mierlo writes, the specialists in the art of persuasion may water down the spontaneity and creativity of thoughts and ideas into sterile and streamlined clichés that direct our thoughts, even though we still have the illusion of being original and individual. The result of this, as Mirlo observes, is in totalitarian countries, the self-thinking, subjective man has disappeared. Peaceful exchange of free thoughts in free conversation will disturb the conditioned reflexes and is therefore taboo. No longer are there any brains, only conditioned patterns and educated muscles. The mental automaton becomes the ideal of education. Mirlo has advice for those not living in totalitarian countries. We must avoid the personal mindset temptations that lead the way to totalitarianism. Free men in a free society must learn not only to recognize this stealthy attack on mental integrity and fight it, but must learn also what there is inside man's mind that makes him vulnerable to this attack. What it is that makes him, in many cases, actually long for a way out of the responsibilities that republican democracy and maturity place on him. Escaping from responsibility seduces many. Mirlo writes, "The pressures of daily life impel more and more people to seek an easy escape from responsibility and maturity. Indeed, it is difficult to withstand these pressures. To many, the offer of a political panacea is very tempting. To others, the offer of escape through alcohol, drugs, or other artificial pleasures is irresistible. Unknowingly, we may become opinionated robots. We search for situations that create superficial fear to cover up inner anxieties. We like to escape into the irrational because we dislike the challenge of self-study and self-thinking. Our leisure time is occupied increasingly by automatized activities in which we take no part, listening to piped-in words and viewing television screens. We hurry along with cars and go to bed with a sleeping pill.
But for those idiots out there who don't know how to play, here's how it goes. For each correct answer, they'll move one step closer to our cube of cash.
Mirlo warned that many free minds have given up the struggle for decency and individuality. They surrender to the zeitgeist, often without being aware of it. Public opinion molds our critical thoughts every day. As an antidote, Mirlo counsels spiritual bravery, a mental courage that goes beyond the self. It serves an idea. It asks for hyper-consciousness of the self as a thinking, spiritual being. He writes, "Spiritual bravery is not found among the conformists, or among those who preach uniformity, or among those who plead for smooth social adjustment. It requires continual mental alertness and spiritual strength to resist the dragging current of conformist thought. Man has to be stronger than the mere will for self-protection and self-assertion. He has to be able to go beyond himself in the service of an idea, and has to be able to acknowledge loyally that he has been wrong when higher values are found. Indeed, there is a spiritual courage that goes beyond all automatic reflex action. Financial, social, or other pressures might make you feel that you can't resist Big Brother. Resistance starts gently by recognizing our own mental processes that make us vulnerable to the current of conformist thought. With mental alertness, we attune ourselves to spiritual strength. With self-study, we prepare for peaceful exchange of ideas with those currently choosing to be little brothers. There is still enough freedom in America that without the support of little brothers, Big Brother will find it has no power of its own."
A very nuanced, articulate addressing of the issues that we face. And I think again, you know, very thought-provoking. This is not one of those things that you could just casually listen to in the background. It really, I think, requires a more... it's one of those things that you have to pay attention to. And probably, you know, if you're listening, maybe you listen a couple of times, or better yet, you read it. And the context is definitely the COVID shenanigans. The first part of Barry Brownstein's article deals specifically with COVID related issues. And what you heard was the section titled How Not to Be a Little Brother. You know, the more you dive down this rabbit hole, the more we realize it's you, it's me, it's us, dear comrades. And we, if it was not abundantly clear before, it should be yesterday and going forward. I would argue yesterday was theater, as you know, right on schedule, quite frankly. And now, as a result of that theater, while people are kept in a frenzy, kind of a continual state of suspended animation, where, you know, they're up in the air, and we'll play a couple more clips, a few more clips actually, from Matthias de Smet's interview with Aubrey Marcus, where the specifics are pinned down a little more clearly, I would say. But, you know, now you can expect to see the circus go on the road, or the carnival go on the road, and the carnies and the circus freaks will emulate their perceived leadership. And that sounds like a pejorative. You know, it sounds like a kind of an indictment, and it is, in a sense, people allowing themselves to be used and abused. But, you know, that's how the dance works. That is the sad reality. Now, what happened? See, and I guess the last thing that I'll say before we start playing the Matthias de Smet clips, the thing that I really want to emphasize here is, you know, we could zero in, we could hyper focus on the fear porn and the doom scrolling, as it's been colloquialized. And I think that's a trivializing of what's going on and a trivializing of our attention given to it in that context. I don't want to trivialize. I want to focus in on our responsibility, our obligation to ourselves and to one another. This is a place where we feel deeply convicted about the issues. And the folks who listen to RBN, I dare say, you know, without having any sort of scientific evidence to prove this, I would say that the RBN audience, the RBN listener, is deeply patriotic, deeply concerned with the state of affairs in America, wanting to contribute in whatever fashion to better things and not obsess over the problem. It's important to be aware of the problem, obviously. If you don't know what the problem is, it's a pretty good bet that you're not going to be able to do much about it. Is it ignorance or apathy? I don't know, and I don't care. But what is our obligation? What is our responsibility? And I think the RBN listener is very interested in that. So that's where we're going to try to zero in going forward. Stick around. Be right back.
A American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Inflation control is population control. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to get your body ready to fight the next virus with Quercetin Plus Zinc from Liberty Lighthouse Wellness. Find it at liberty-lighthouse.com. The U.S. Federal Reserve was created by Congress to provide the nation with a safer, more flexible, and more stable monetary and financial system. One way that they do this is by attempting to control inflation. But is that really a good thing? The money in your pocket or in your bank account isn't really money at all. It's fiat currency with no physical backing. It is worth less every time the government prints more. Contrast the current system to actual minted money. A quarter minted before 1965 contains about $3.50 worth of silver today. A quarter dollar from 1965 isn't even worth $2.50 today. So the value of silver has increased by 1,400%, but because of artificially manipulated inflation, the dollar has only gone up by 950% during that same time. You see, inflation is only bad when all of our money is fake fiat currency. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Welcome back. Oh, gosh. Let's see. what is it? It's 15 days. 15 days since, well, as it's 1,115 days exactly since 15 days to slow the spread. Remember that? This is another one of those things that makes you kind of, isn't it curious that Trump apologists don't remember that? 15 days to slow the spread. March 16, 2020. And 1,115 days later, Alvin Bragg is walking around with a mask on, among others. Masks don't do anything useful or productive. Particularly the fabric masks, what does that do? Other than prove that, you know, maybe you need mouthwash to yourself, party of one. But what that does, what it does do is it creates a schizophrenic person, a fractured, fragmented mind who's more easily controlled, more easily manipulated by one's psychological kidnapper. And so with that in mind, we begin with Matthias de Smet's take on the menticide and the mass formation, the mass hypnosis taking place through the COVID shenanigans. So three clips. We'll start this one. The first one starts around the 28-minute mark. So here we go. Go ahead, please.
A little bit late.
Of course. Of course, and that's a difference between a classical dictatorship and a totalitarian state, and it shows that it makes that actually the structure and the process totalitarian states go through is really different from the process of classical dictatorships. For instance, if in a classical dictatorship the opposition stops to speak out, like if the opposition, the dissonant voices, the dissident voices, are silenced, then usually the dictator will become milder. He will become less aggressive because he realizes that that he has to try to be. To make the population sympathetic against him, to make them feel that he will be a good leader and stuff. So it's important for him that at that moment he becomes milder and less aggressive, because he is in power. He doesn't need to be aggressive anymore. But in a totalitarian state, exactly the opposite happens. When the opposition is silent, when the opposition stops to speak out, at that moment exactly, totalitarian state commits its most cruel atrocities, starts to commit his most cruel atrocities. And that was what happened in 1930 in the Soviet Union, when Stalin started his large-scale purifications, which led to about 80 million people dying in less than 10 years, according to Solzhenitsyn. And then in Nazi Germany, the same happened in around 1935. The opposition was silenced, and then the real problem started in the totalitarian state. So totalitarianism is something really different from classical dictatorships, and it's the process of mass formation that is important there. The process of mass formation, which became increasingly strong throughout the 19th century and throughout the 20th.
That was quick. So again, you know, just to reiterate, I mean, that's so the distinction between classical dictatorships and totalitarianism is what he's making there. An important distinction. If you don't study this stuff, then you probably lump those things together, but the dynamics are different, as Matthias de Smet points out. And we got a couple of others that we'll play here in a moment. Namely, the Ash conformity angle, and also, you know, what is to be done, dear comrades, because really that's something that is critically important. Let's talk about what can we do about it? What can we do? And it's very interesting, not just what Matthias de Smet says we can all do, but why? Why is that important? It's very interesting. And I think a how could be added, and so maybe I'll give you my two cents on that. The title of this video is Psychological Tricks, What is Mass Formation Psychosis? Professor Matthias de Smet, AMP, which stands for Aubrey Marcus Podcast. It's the Aubrey Marcus interview. And that's part of it's in the YouTube playlist that I created way back when, titled Mass Psychosis, Mass Psychosis. So I will include that in today's notes. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Segment we're going to focus on, again, we're playing clips from Matthias de Smet's interview with, or Aubrey Marcus's interview of Matthias de Smet. Excerpts from the video Psychological Tricks, What is Mass Formation Psychosis? Featuring Professor Matthias de Smet, obviously, and a subject matter expert on how group psychology, mass formation works, and explaining how this works. What's important in this segment is this gets right to the heart of Hayek's three reasons, three main reasons that I've been circling and haven't gotten directly to. Maybe we'll talk about that after this clip, but this features the kind of a more detailed understanding of how and why the ash conformity experiment works. What in that works? How does it work? Why does it work? So two more clips. This is the first ash conformity experiment featured. So go ahead, please.
Well, yes, the risk, of course, is that the people who don't want to buy into the narrative that they become the scapegoat, indeed, the anti-vaxxers, for instance, the people who don't want to take the vaccine, might become public enemy number one, and they might become the object of this fourth condition that we mentioned in the beginning, of all this free-floating frustration and aggression, because that's also something typical for mass formation. All the free-floating frustration and aggression that existed before the mass formation is projected and channeled onto the people who are not into the process of mass formation. So that's one major risk. And then also, of course, if the masses would succeed in silencing these people, then the masses will start to commit atrocities also towards the members of the masses themselves. So that's strange. Hannah Arendt says the masses, or totalitarianism and mass formation, always is a monster that divorces its own children. There's something very strange. It's always, in the end, it starts to kill among its own members. So the most important thing, actually, the most important thing we can do in this situation is to continue to speak out. I repeat this time and time again. Mass formation is one kind of hypnosis. It's an example of hypnosis, and hypnosis works through the voice. If people have to, it's in one way or another, people are grasped in the resonance of a voice. That's what totalitarian leaders know. They start each day with 30 minutes of propaganda, for instance, just to keep people into the narrative and to make sure that they continue to resonate with the voice of the leader, or with the narrative that led up to the mass formation. So, and the opposite is also true. Like, if there are dissident voices, if there are dissonant voices that continue to speak out, then the hypnosis will become less deep. Gustave Le Bon in the 19th century said, usually dissonant voices will not have the power to wake up the masses, but they will make the hypnosis less deep, and they will prevent that the masses start to commit atrocities. So that's what we all have to realize. We all have to realize, in my opinion, that it is not an option to stop speaking. We should continue to speak out. Yeah. That's the most important thing we can do.
This is actually the third segment. That's the solution segment. Obviously, we didn't hear about the ash conformity experiment there. So we might have to play that again, just to keep them in order. But it's good to hear that, I think, more than once. So can we play the second part? Possible?
What we're seeing now has some of the characteristics of mass formation. But let's talk about the spectrum first, and then let's talk about our current situation.
Yes, indeed. So indeed, in a process of, only usually when a process of mass formation emerges in a society or in a population, only 30% of the people is really hypnotized. So that's something very important, because it seems there are much more, but it's not the case. There is only 30% of the people who are really hypnotized. There is an additional 40% of the people who goes along with this first group, because they never go against the current, and they feel that they don't want to go against the current, that it is too difficult and too dangerous to go against the crowd. So, and then there is an additional 20 or 30% or something who is not hypnotized and who wants to speak out, who wants to do something. But it can be surprising, like even in totalitarian states such as Germany or the Soviet Union, usually not more than about 30% of the people is really totalitarian. And that's something that is observed time and time again. I don't know if you're familiar with experiments of Solomon Asch. Solomon Asch was a psychologist who did some experiments shortly after the Second World War, in which he showed to small groups of about eight people line who was about 30 centimeters long, and then three other lines. And the first of these three lines was about 10 centimeters long. The second was 120 centimeters long. And then the third one was about 60 centimeters long. So it was clear in one glance of an eye, it was clear that the third line was the line that was equally, that had the same length as the first one. And that was what Solomon Asch asked to these small groups of participants, eight participants. He asked, what do you think? Which lines have the same length? And the first seven, the first seven of the participants actually were collaborators of Solomon Asch, and they were all instructed to give the wrong answer. They were all instructed to say that line one and that two lines were equally wrong, who were absolutely not equally long. So, and upon hearing that the first seven participants all gave the wrong answer, of which a blind man could see that this was wrong, the eighth participant in 75% of the cases gave the same wrong answer. So it was really amazing to see. And
there was, when I studied that, and it's a really powerful video as well, and maybe we'll be able to edit that into this so people can see it. The psychologist and Solomon gave two hypotheses. One was that in some cases, people actually convinced themselves that they were,
yes,
that they were wrong, that their eyes were deceiving them and they were just wrong. And so they actually believed that they believed what everybody else was saying was true. And then another group was just so shy about saying something different from everybody else because they were so worried that the other people would, you know, make them an outcast. So they were just going along with it, even though they knew they were wrong. Yes. They were giving the wrong answer. So there was two reasons why the participants were giving the wrong answer.
Yes, indeed. So, and there were these three groups as well. The three groups, the first group who really believe or who are really hypnotized by the group and who are really convinced that the wrong answer was the right answer. And then the second group who knew that it was the wrong answer, but who didn't dare to speak out. And then the third group who saw that, who gave the right answer, who dared to speak out. So indeed, you see these three groups time and time again, and you see them in each process of mass formation. A group that is really hypnotized, and then a totalitarian state who becomes really totalitarian. Then a second group who just only goes along with the first group, and then a third group who does not want to buy into the story and who wants to speak out.
That's how it works in a very condensed little soundbite there. So, you know, maybe it's important to include the soundbites or the timestamps. And I'll just do that. I'll throw those out real fast for posterity's sake. You know, again, we are currently listening to clips from the Aubrey Marcus podcast, Aubrey Marcus interview of Matthias de Smet. The video on YouTube titled Psychological Tricks, What is Mass Formation Psychosis? Professor Matthias de Smet. And so three clips. And the timestamps are from the 28-minute mark to 30-minute, 13-second mark. That was the initial clip that we played. The second one we just heard, you know, how does this work? And this gets right back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. And you can hear there with the Asch conformity experiments how if you are sophisticated enough and you have the right messaging and you understand the mechanics, perhaps you have enough data, then you can do what Hayek talks about, which is societal planners hope for the miracle of the majorities agreeing on a particular plan for the organization of the whole of society. Others, you know, and that's giving a sort of a noble veneer to what's going on. If we take a more sinister view, which I think is easy to do with things that the World Economic Forum, for example, has boasted about, and it's easy to see, you know, why someone would want to do this with very nefarious intentions. Others had already learned the lesson that in a planned society, the question can no longer be on what do a majority of the people agree, but what is the largest single group members agree sufficiently to make unified direction of all affairs possible, or if no such group large enough to enforce its views exists, how can it be created and who will succeed in creating it? Enter the recipe, you know, the three main reasons. That's what he gets into next. There are three main reasons why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather by the worst elements of any society. And then he unpacks those three main reasons and how the worst element is sort of engineered. And so we have that recipe at work, and you can see how the Ash conformity experiment will create a majority out of a numerical, it'll create a numerical majority essentially out of a numerical minority. Because most people, you know, there's a small percentage who are fooled, and then there is the slightly larger number who know that it's foolishness but don't want to be, you know, they want to keep their job, they don't want to be ostracized from their social groups or whatever, and so they just don't say anything. And there's more to say on this, but let's go to the phones real quick and grab Brian in Washington. Brian, thanks for calling back.
Well, Chris, when people are listening to Matthias, they might be interested. As he's telling us all about the hive mind, he was on The Missing Link with Jesse Hall a few months back, and Jesse read my comment and asking about his awareness of communitarianism. His response was, never heard of it. Well, Professor, you're pretty well known and famous for a couple of years now. You'd think that if you were on the up and up, you would know what the word was. So, you know, there's this Steve Faulkner, the Space Busters on Odyssey. He agreed to come on and talk to Jenna and I on a fakeologist broadcast. We introduced him to the importance of the communitarian word, and in his most recent interview with Germ Warfare, germ spelled with a J, not a G, Germ Warfare and Space Busters, MKUltra, MK Naomi, at 28 minutes after our broadcast with Steve on Fakeologist, now Space Busters is saying, you don't want to know what it is? It's all about communitarianism. In other words, this is the big kahuna. He's come around to describing what we're up against. So I know you wanted to squeeze in some more Matthias. Well, you could drop me at this point, Chris, and maybe squeeze it in.
Well, I appreciate it, Brian. You made your point. I'll just respond and say, I don't think that because he's not aware of a particular, you know, that issue, I don't think that necessarily means anything. You know, he's not a to my knowledge, he's not been through, you know, the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders Program or anything like that. So it's not necessarily an implication, is it?
Well, I go through this with Lark constantly. They're just not knowledgeable, Brian. No, you can't eliminate. They're working for the other side.
I'm not saying that it is evidence either.
Understood, 100%.
Right on. Well, thanks, yeah, I so think much. We're going to... Thank you, Brian. Much appreciated. So we agree on that, and I think we will. I think we have barely enough time to play that again. You know, what is the solution? What is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? We'll have just enough time to play that again, and I think we will. Stick around. Final segment coming up.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's SusannasSecret.com. SusannasSecret.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. All right, we got enough time to squeeze this in real quick. So, Matthias de Smet, what is to be done, dear comrades? That's my deal. Here's what he said.
Well, yes, the risk, of course, is that the people who don't want to buy into the narrative that they become the scapegoat. Indeed, the anti-vaxxers, for instance, the people who don't want to take the vaccine, might become public enemy number one, and they might become the object of this fourth condition that we mentioned in the beginning, of all this free-floating frustration and aggression, because that's also something typical for mass formation. All the free-floating frustration and aggression that existed before the mass formation is projected and channeled onto the people who are not into the process of mass formation. So that's one major risk. And then also, of course, if the masses would succeed in silencing these people, then the masses will start to commit atrocities also towards the members of the masses themselves. So that's strange. Hannah Arendt says the masses, or totalitarianism and mass formation, always is a monster that divorces its own children. There's something very strange. It's always, in the end, it starts to kill among its own members. So the most important thing, actually, the most important thing we can do in this situation is to continue to speak out. I repeat this time and time again. Mass formation is one kind of hypnosis. It's an example of hypnosis, and hypnosis works through the voice. If people have to, it's in one way or another, people are grasped in the resonance of a voice. That's what totalitarian leaders know. They start each day with 30 minutes of propaganda, for instance, just to keep people into the narrative,
cut it off there,
and to make sure that they continue to resonate with the voice of the leader, with the narrative that led up to the mass formation.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. You know, it's the hypnotic calliope that he's talking about. There's cadence, there's NLP and all of that. But let me just add this little nuance, you know, and I would give, you know, the conversation Brian and I just had as Exhibit A, probably Chris and Virginia's remarks. We played Seth Godin, which is sort of a different animal, that clip the other day, The Enemy is Apathy. And Seth Godin said, you can't be curious and angry at the same time. And it's so much more useful to be curious. It's so easy for us all to get swept up in the frenzy and to consider each other guilty until proven innocent. Would that we, you know, give one another the benefit of the doubt, and others too. It's so much more useful to be curious. And you can't be curious and angry at the same time. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
For survival, we've got to be the rulers of your world.
So we're not talking Navy SEALs. We're talking...
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas.
Hello, Julie.
And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.